friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, that's right. I am so glad that you're here. In fact, I'm glad that I'm here. Praise the Lord. Happy Thursday, this November the 20th, 2014. Hey, here's a thought for you. A week from today will be Thanksgiving. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? In fact, to be honest with you, maybe my wife already told me, but I don't know what we're doing for Thanksgiving. I don't know if we're going to go visit any family or if we're going to do something ourselves. But I got to look into that. But regardless, I pray that you're doing well today. Hey, lots of stuff happening here in the next couple of weeks, of course, getting ready to go into the holiday season, I guess, with Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas and New Year's and such, getting ready for the hustle and bustle. In fact, I pray for you, friend, that you don't get too caught up in the hustle and bustle, because it can be overwhelming. It really can. It really, really can. Trying to keep up with the Christmas list and the giving and who's going where for what holiday and making sure not to offend certain people because you're not going to their dinner, but you're going to somebody else's, and having to deal with all the traffic at the mall and the shopping season and such. And I just pray that you have a spirit of peace and a spirit of joy as we head into these crazy, crazy holiday season. And keep your eyes focused on Christ. You know, I love what Colossians 2:8 says. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Colossians 2:8. So I pray that you'll keep your heart and your mind and your eyes on Jesus this season. Amen. I love it. Hey, coming up all this week, Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign will be doing their Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Collection all this week. Now, Meadowbrook Community Church, located at 1902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. If you want to get more information on their hours and when they're actually collecting the shoeboxes for Samaritan's Purse's Operation Christmas Child, just give them a call at area code 217-351-3019. Also, the Singing Men, they're going to be out and about throughout this entire season. They have a busy schedule. On Sunday, November 30th, it will be at the Rantoul Ministerial Association Christmas Concert at the Rantoul High School at 7 p.m. again Sunday night, November the 30th. Also on Sunday, December the 7th at 7 p.m., they'll be at Victory Church. Saturday, December 13th, they'll be with the Blue Suede Crew at the Decatur Civic Center in Decatur at 3 and 7 p.m. on Saturday, December the 13th. And they got a busy day on Saturday, December 20th, Marketplace Mall, Champaign at 12 noon. And they'll be with the Blue Suede Crew that same night, again, Saturday night, December 20th, at the Effingham Performance Center, 7 p.m. So they're going to be pretty busy. You can take a look at the entire list of events, including Singing Men concerts, at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Hey, coming up here in a few moments, we're going to be talking about our life and our role within the church from the book of Ephesians. That's coming up right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's great. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's great. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim,
to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of Thy name.
Jesus, Thy name, charms
our fears, let him our sorrows cease.
'Tis music in the sinner's ear.
'Tis life and health and peace. The power of cancelled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King.
Listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. It's Joey spending some time with you today. And we're going to be talking about being connected in the church. What is our role in the church? In fact, church members need one another in order to grow in Christ. In fact, I am a fan of the Chicago Blackhawks. Love the Blackhawks. Anybody Blackhawks fans? Maybe like 2-3 people listening right now? I don't know. But Blackhawks, they actually won Sunday night. They're playing again tonight. I'm a big fan of the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, notice I said I'm not a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. There's a difference because I don't go to their practice. I don't work out with the team. I mean, believe me, I don't do any working out, but I don't study the game films or discuss plays with the coaches. On game day, I don't get on the rink, on the ice, and help the team move the puck across the goal line. That's not my job. I'm a fan. I'm a spectator. I buy my ticket and cheer for my team or just watch them on TV. That's my job. But you know what, friend? Thankfully, church membership is not like hockey. There should be no spectators in the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ wasn't designed to operate as an organization where supporters come and give their money and then watch the hired players do all of the work. Friend, we're all participants. Amen? Everyone has a role to play. Everyone is needed. That's how the body of Christ grows and fulfills its mission. Actually, today, the question is not, do I have a role in the church? The question is, what is my role in the church? If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of different verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part." That's from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, Jesus supplies that we just read here, the church, with people he has gifted in various ways to fill all the roles needed for the church's mission. The roles are mentioned in Ephesians 4:11. Now, it doesn't make up an exhaustive list of leadership positions within the church, but they're important. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and let me take it a step further. People who clean the church, people who prepare for potlucks, people who prepare for funerals, people who do the paperwork, people who do assisting, people who teach, people who do every aspect of the church. And see, church leaders are not gifted to do all of the work of the ministry themselves. You know, it's so funny. I've worshiped with people who had the idea or the mentality of, well, we pay the pastor, so it's his responsibility. See, there is no amount of money that you can pay a pastor to do what God has called you to do. So church leaders are not gifted to do all the work of the ministry themselves. They are gifted so that they can train the saints, that's you and me, other believers, to do the work of ministry. See, every member has a function in the body of Christ. Either you're doing the work of the ministry, or you're equipping others to do the work of ministry in some form or fashion. Those are the only two options that we see here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, obviously, when somebody brand new comes to Christ, there's going to be an element of growing. You can't expect them to step up and do every single thing in church when they got saved on Sunday, and Monday morning they're knocking at the church door and serving in every single role. There's obviously an area of growing there. The word translated training in verse 12 kind of carries the idea of restoring something to its original condition or making something complete. This kind of training, equipping, or perfecting is needed to prepare believers for service in doing God's work. See, Paul understood his role as an equipper of other believers. In fact, in Colossians 1:28, he says, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." Paul delegated tasks, enlisted people to pray for him, and relied on the help of co-laborers in the ministry. In other words, Paul understood his role as a servant of Christ. He understood that every member has a role to play in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Remember when you were a child? Remember when you were growing up and couldn't wait to grow up? Remember those days when you were a kid and you couldn't wait to grow up? Timothy, who's 12, our oldest, he just turned 12, maybe about in August, so that's about, 3 months ago, and he's telling everybody he's a teenager. Well, I'm a teenager, you know, us teenagers, you know, and we're like, "Tim, hey, come on now. You're not a teenager, you're 12. You're going to be a teenager next summer, so slow it down a little bit." You know, so remember when you were a kid and couldn't wait to grow up? Maybe you longed for the day you turned 13, just like Timothy, and officially became a teenager. Or you dreamed of your 16th birthday and that prized driver's license is right there in your wallet or in your purse. Maybe you realized 18 was the age when society would finally recognize you as an adult. Or maybe you yearned to be 22, finished with college, and on your way to the real world. You know what, friend? We should also strive for spiritual maturity. Did you hear that today? We should also strive for spiritual maturity as believers in the body of Christ. See, God provides his children with various gifts so we can help one another grow. Anybody married here today? I'll tell you what, my wife has skill sets that even me out. that's probably the best way to put it. And I got skills or abilities in my toolbox, so to speak, that God has given me to help her grow. Was it Sam Proverbs? "As iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another." See, Ephesians 4:13, we see that Paul said God's goal in providing his church with workers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to build up the church so that we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus and become mature. So how do we assess our spiritual growth? How do we measure maturity? Well, the answer comes in verse 13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, friend, the life of Christ is our target. It was Paul's consuming goal to know Christ more, to know the power of his resurrection, and to share in the fellowship of his suffering. Therefore, we measure our spiritual maturity by gauging our actions and attitudes in comparison with the actions and attitudes of Christ. So how do you know you're growing and you're spiritually maturing? You're starting to look like Jesus more. You're starting to act and think like Christ. Jesus lived to please God. He put others above himself. He patiently endured suffering. He loved the unlovable, forgave the undeserving. That's our goal for spiritual growth and maturity. I know it ain't easy, but thankfully we don't have to work towards that goal on our own. See, God equips his people, as we've been talking about this entire study. He equips his people with gifts that enable them to help one another grow to be like his son. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:14-16 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth, in love, can't forget that part, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You know, having a poor foundation in the truth of Scripture makes you vulnerable to all kinds of false teachings that can lead you away from God. See, this is another reason we need one another within the church, friend. Paul constantly battled false teachers who infiltrated churches and led people astray. His remedy, identified in these verses here, was to ensure churches were built up with mature believers grounded in the truth. See, that's why when you call a pastor, that's why when you call maybe a deacon or an elder, they got to be spiritually mature. They got to know the Word of God. Because if they're going to be making decisions for the church, they have to know what the Word of God says. See, knowing the truth is key to discerning falsehood. And Paul contrasted the lies and deceitfulness of false teachers with the importance of believers speaking the truth in love. That means that you're being honest with people about the realities such as sin and how God views our rebellion against him. You're being honest about it, but you communicate that message with humility and patience. But that doesn't mean we compromise the teachings of Scripture. So friend, you have a responsibility. You and me, both of us, a responsibility to equip others for ministry or engage in ministry yourself. Choose to be a participator, not a spectator. Get equipped. See, with the power of the Holy Spirit as your guide, seek out somebody older and maybe wiser in the Lord and ask them to pour into your life as a spiritual mentor, as Paul did with Timothy. So what's your role in the church? See, answering that question is key to getting on the fields, to getting in the ice rink and helping your team, the body of Christ, strive for growth and spiritual victory in this world today.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Tender voice like thine can be support. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to enjoy. bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Yes, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
That's right. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branch. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. And just a great reminder right there that I need thee, Lord, every hour. In fact, every minute, every second, every microsecond. Amen. Well, friend, thank you so much for listening today. I invite you to tune in tomorrow to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Mark and Jason in the studio continuing to talk about their trip to the Holy Land. Oh, wow. Talk about a great treat. I don't know if you've been listening this week or have been following some of the Facebook pictures they've been posting from their trip to the Holy Land here in the last week or so. Just such a blessing to hear how God has inspired Mark and Jason and the team, about 20 friends who went on that trip. So be sure to tune in tomorrow again, 7:32 a.m. Central Time for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.